Welcome to episode 59 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Martin. How to Make a Mind, Part 2. Way back in episode 35, I did How to Make a Mind, Part 1. I suggested what you need is a Big Bang and about 13.82 billion years. I got that number from the Planck mission, which was one of the satellites launched to study the microwave background radiation. The figure I most often see quoted for the age of the universe is 13.7 billion years. But what's a couple hundred million years between friends? The problem with using a Big Bang is that we're not sure how we got the Big Bang to begin with. In addition, there are a number of constants in our universe, such as the mass of an electron, its charge, the mass and charge of a proton, the Planck length, and others. And we're not sure how this universe ended up with those. We also don't know why there is so much matter and so little antimatter. And it's not clear that given a Big Bang, you would end up with a universe like this one. In fact, some cosmological theories suggest that the Big Bang may have made several sort of island universes separated by event horizons caused by the speed of light. The speed of light being yet another constant. It's often argued that many of these other universes with different laws of nature would be unable to support life. That's arguing from an example of one. There has been some work done that suggests other sets of laws might still give rise to the equivalent of intelligent tool-using creatures. But we'll cover that considerably later. So instead of considering the entire universe, let's take it down several notches and try this. What you need is an Earth and approximately 4.54 billion years. There's problems with this approach as well. It's not entirely clear what aspects of our Earth were necessary to give rise to us, or creatures like us, intelligent tool users. This brings us to the rare earth hypothesis. That is both a theory and a book by Peter Ward, a geologist and paleontologist, and Donald E. Brownlee, an astronomer and astrobiologist, both of them from the University of Washington, right in my own backyard. I'm not sure how there are astrobiologists considering that so far we've only found life on this planet, but apparently you can get a degree in that subject. In their book, they suggest that a number of improbable events had to take place to give us our Earth and to make our Earth friendly enough for us to arrive. They cite things like the right kind of star in the right kind of galaxy in the right kind of orbit, the right kind of planet orbiting the right kind of star in the right kind of orbit, the existence of plate tectonics, a large moon, the right kind of atmosphere, and a whole grab bag of other factors. This is arguing, again, from an example of one. One can be forgiven for doing that, since we only have the one example to date. But they basically took everything that seems to have been a factor in our evolution and labeled it as both rare and necessary. On the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com, I have a couple of articles you can read if you want to learn more of the rare earth hypothesis. It's quite convincing when you first run across it, but a number of their assertions have been undermined by recent discoveries. They claimed, for example, that plate tectonics are rare. There are other examples of plate tectonics in our own solar system. It was assumed that because the icy moons around the outer planets are so very cold, that they would be more or less inert, with very little of the equivalent of geological activity. Turns out not to be the case. There is Io around Jupiter, which is a very violent, prone to many, many eruptions. There's Europa, which appears to have a skin of ice around a liquid water ocean. That is an example of plate tectonics, although at a much lower temperature. There's Triton, a moon of Neptune, which turned out to have ice volcanoes, massive violent eruptions of ammonium. And there have been plate tectonics detected on both Pluto and its moon Charon. That's just one example. But as we consider how our planet gave birth to us, we'll run down this list and occasionally revisit this hypothesis just to see how important or rare or common these factors are. We'll start with a simple question. Where was our sun born? To be clear, that's S-U-N. I'll see you next time.